Today, we're going to talk about our independence, our four freedoms. Tomorrow, July 4th, is Independence Day. Independence Day is considered the greatest secular holiday in the United States, the birthday of our nation, not the birthday of Jeff Brundage, who's born on July 4th. And Rachel, you're born on July 4th? Wow. All right, that's awesome. You guys will celebrate your birthdays, but I don't think the whole nation will be. But the nation will be celebrating its birthday tomorrow. July 4th celebrates the adoption by Congress in 1776 of the Declaration of Independence, declaring the 13 American colonies to be free, to be independent states from Great Britain, to be independent from the king. I personally, and I hope you are as well, are so thankful for the character, the ideology, the bravery of those men who signed their names to such a radical document of truth in a day of kings and tyranny. And to many of them, it cost them their lives. Thomas Paine, many of you have heard of him, an English-born American. He wrote the 47-page pamphlet, Common Sense, to the inhabitants of America, which helped inspire the American Revolution. You know, I think that forever there's been lacking common sense. I mean, it's still a problem we have today. But it inspired the American Revolution. And his pamphlet, which made critical arguments for declaring independence from England, it took colonial America by storm in 1776. In it, he wrote this. He said, "We have the opportunity and every encouragement before us to form the noblest, purest constitution on the face of the earth." No wonder it went viral in that day. Centuries before the internet was ever created, with over 500,000 copies sold in the colonies. Wow, the people read this. Well, the first anniversary of July 4th, the Declaration, it was celebrated in Philadelphia by the adjournment of Congress with a ceremonial dinner, bonfires, and the ringing of bells followed by fireworks. And the custom took on from there. And it spread to city after city after city. And it continues today with parades and picnics and family gatherings and fireworks to celebrate the freedom we have in America, the liberty that we have. You know, when you think about it, freedom has been the most cherished hallmark of America. Freedom. Why do so many people throughout the world want to flock here? Freedom is the hallmark of America. It is most cherished, especially when freedom is lost. It has been fought over, sacrificed for, bled for, and died for, this word freedom and the meaning of it. When you think about it, so many have paid the ultimate price for it, so others can have it without cost. Isn't that amazing? Aren't we thankful for that? This freedom, however, I don't know if you know this, it was desired for all the world, not just for the inhabitants of America as America progressed, but in our recent times, desired for all over the world, as expressed by one of our presidents during a turning point in our and the world history. President Roosevelt, on January 6, 1941, at a time when Western Europe was under Nazi domination with all the atrocities happening against mankind, President Roosevelt alerting Congress to the necessity of war, he appealed to America's most profound beliefs about freedom. Setting forth a vision he put out of four freedoms to be enjoyed by anyone, quote, anywhere and everywhere in the world. They were the freedom of worship, the freedom of speech, the freedom from fear, and the freedom from want. Wow. How many of you ever heard of Norman Rockwell? Well, Norman Rockwell, one of America's favorite artists, was so inspired by President Roosevelt's Four Freedoms speech, he created the now famous series of paintings depicting each of those freedoms. And he used ordinary people from his hometown in Vermont as his models. His Four Freedom paintings became the centerpiece of a massive U.S. war bond drive and were used to illustrate the freedoms America was fighting for in World War II. The freedoms that America demanded for herself and demanded that the world should have as well. From that, did you know that there was a freedom train which moved across our land from 1947 and 1949? Did you know this? Here is the black and white photo, and you can see there it says Spirit of 1776, but you can't see the color scheme. Here is the same freedom train in color. The freedom train was dedicated to American history, the history of America's democracy and how that freedom came about. And the Freedom's Train purpose was to make sure every American knew the cost and appreciated what freedom was for. And it carried some of the original, not copies, but original priceless historical documents. It carried with it the original U.S. Constitution. It carried the original Declaration of Independence. It carried the original Emancipation Proclamation. It carried many famous paintings of World War I. But it also carried Norman Rockwell's original Four Freedom paintings. Americans from around the country got to see these important testimonies to Americans' freedom and America's democracy. In all, guess what? Over 320 million people in 326 cities lined up to get on the freedom train to be reminded of what their freedom was all about. Wow. The freedom we enjoy here in America is precious, is it not? And it has come at a great price to many. And it is worth every effort to maintain it and preserve it, short of sin. If only we would start teaching the true American history to our children today, we may see far fewer people willing to destroy something they know nothing about. Amen. Maybe we need another freedom train. But here, we should thank God. We should thank God every day for the national freedom, for the personal liberty that we have here in this nation. This sweet land of liberty. For most of the world is not free. Most of the world does not know or experience what we experience. I mean, we can choose our occupation if you're diligent. We can travel where we want and when we want. I want to go to Florida because my daughters and wife want to go to Florida. And we're just going to go. I didn't need a permission slip. We can voice our opinions freely, even if they're the most sinful opinions of the most immoral, like we saw this last weekend. Immoral people with sinful speech, but they're free to do so. We can elect who governs us. We can pray. We can worship. We can proclaim the Bible and Jesus publicly. Praise God. Amen. Just as we please, without any real persecution. Yet, yes, this experiment in our republic of democracy is being tested today, my friends. It's being stretched. It's being bent vigorously. Yet still we are free by God's long-suffering, by God's patience, by God's mercy, and by God's grace. Are we thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ, for God Almighty, for everything we have, everything we possess, all that we experience is by the abundant grace of God alone? And we're so thankful for that. But as you celebrate the birthday of our Lord's nation, of our nation tomorrow, our freedom here, let's take time today to thank God not only for that, but celebrate the four freedoms everyone that is a believer in Christ Jesus possess. One, we actually see all four in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, where Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. John 8, 36. Are we thankful for the freedom that Jesus Christ gives us? And Jesus himself, way before Roosevelt, he had four freedoms that he wanted to talk about. Free indeed. That is truly, when you see that, will be free indeed. Why that language? Why not just you will be free? Why free indeed? Because it speaks to truly, certainly, without question. Like truly, truly. Free indeed. Wow. John 8, my friends, is a running debate between Jesus Christ and the scribes and Pharisees that he's speaking with, all right? It is a profound chapter, and it is worthy of your deepest meditation. You can spend days contemplating and studying this one chapter, days and days and days. I encourage you to go do that. But today, we're going to look at it briefly. While in context, Jesus, everyone is speaking to the Pharisees and scribes. And he is describing the dire condition of all mankind from which he came into this very world to set them free, to be free indeed. So now let's look together at the four freedoms Jesus speaks of that I submit to you far outweigh the freedoms of Roosevelt. Far outweigh it. For these freedoms that our Lord speaks of, they have eternal consequences and thus are so much more important than any physical, social, or political freedom one may possess here on this earth. All of those, my friends, are temporary. They're temporary. So let's look at this first freedom. If you're here today and you know Christ is your Lord and Savior, I want you to stay with me so that you should be excited to be reminded. If you're here today and you do not know Christ as your Lord and Savior, or you're tuning in, stay with me today. God has something to say to you. So the first thing we see that Jesus says is freedom from death. Whoa. We'll just start right out of the gate with that big old freedom. Freedom from death. I mean, think about it. We all will face physical death, will we not? There is not freedom anyone can give to negate that reality. I don't care who tells you in this world that they can free you from death. No, we know that. This is freedom from spiritual death that Jesus is speaking of. Again, just like physical death, there is no freedom anyone can give to negate spiritual, which is eternal, death, except Jesus. In this chapter, our Lord Jesus is speaking of eternal death, not physical. Because he says in verse 24, we were once doomed to death. Look at verse 24. Then he said again to them, I go away, and you will seek me, and will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Three times, Jesus said to the unbelieving Pharisees, you will die in your sins. But notice something here. Jesus did not say you will die, did he? That's not news, Jesus. Is that news to you if I said you're going to die? It's no news to the Pharisees either. He didn't just say you will die. They would have said, yeah, eventually we know that. He clearly is saying we will all die. What you do not want to do is to die in your sins. Why? He says, if you die in your sins, you cannot come. You cannot come to the place where I am going. The key to eternal life, my friends, is to be where Jesus is. I want to be where Jesus is. That is the key to eternal life, not just life in and of itself spiritually, but life with him eternally. The one and only alternative to this that mankind does not realize is death, spiritual death. There are only the two, spiritual death or spiritual life. So where was Jesus going? Jesus said in John 7:33, to the one who sent him. To the one who sent him. That is to the Father in heaven. Now, we don't see that word heaven in this chapter, but you can see it in Matthew 3:17, 6:9, 7:11, 10:22-33, Mark 11, and on it goes, the Father who sent him in heaven. Our Father who aren't where? In heaven. You can't come to heaven where I am going. You will die in your sin, he said. And Jesus said again in John 7, verses 34 and 36, to that place, which is heaven, he said, you cannot come if you die in your sins. Why did he keep repeating that? He wanted them to know there is only one way back to the Father. You see, Jesus came into this world to die on that cross, to pay for those very sins that people are dying in. Then he rose from the grave. And he completed all that he said. And he ascended back into heaven to the place from which he came, where he was going, that you cannot come if you die in your sin. Wow. And when we believe this, yielding and accepting Jesus as our Savior and Lord, the Lord's blood washes away our sins. It makes us white as snow, the Bible tells us. And when we physically die, we will not die in our sins because we will be clothed in the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay. I've been working on my balance. Dad told me to do that. Start working on that. Wow. Guys, I'm going to die. And I know where I'm going. Wow. This is a freedom that no man can give. This is a freedom no man can fight for. No man can bear arms and fight for this freedom. Only God can do this through his loving grace. Earthly freedoms that we possess, they're temporary and they're passing. But freedom from spiritual death is eternal, and only Christ can give it. It's a freedom beyond we can even imagine. What we could not do, God did for us in his Son, that we who believe might be set free from death. Jesus said in 8:24, unless you believe, you are doomed to death. But thank God, when we believed in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we were set free. And Jesus wants you to know, free indeed from spiritual death, because you have the Son. And if you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, today you too can be set free from death. You see, the war of our independence was not fought by us, but it was fought by somebody far greater, the Son of God himself. He fought for our independence. He gave us freedom. I love that because I couldn't do it. Could you? Wow. Do you remember when Lazarus died? Jesus told his sister Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. That's physically. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. They're spiritually. Do you believe this? I use this at the graveside ceremonies when I'm standing over a dead body getting ready to be lowered into the ground, and you ask everyone there, he is the resurrection, he is the life, and there the casket is, and the family sitting there in mourning, and Jesus says, do you believe this? For that body is only physically there. His soul or her soul with Christ is alive and well. Do you believe this? Wow. If you are to receive the first of these freedoms from Christ, it must start with believing Jesus Christ. So first, he says, of his four freedoms, freedom from death. Then he goes to another one, freedom from blindness. Freedom from blindness. He says in verse 8:32, we were once blind to the what? Truth. He says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Wow. Seven times truth is mentioned here in this passage. I'm here to tell you, truth has always been under attack. Seven times truth is mentioned in this passage. Now, what type of truth are we talking about? We're not talking about truth that is in the philosophical sense, but we're talking about saving truth. The saving truth that is bound up in the person of Jesus Christ alone. He is the truth, and he is the only truth that can save. He's speaking of that truth. You cannot read this passage without being stuck, though, on how blind the Pharisees were to the truth. Think about this. They are described by what they do not know, just like the lost person in the world today. Verse 14, Jesus says, you do not know. Verse 19, you know neither me nor my Father. They said, who are you? It says, they did not realize. Jesus, why do you not understand? They were blind to the truth of what Jesus was saying. And the chapter closes with these blind people trying to stone Jesus for what he told them in verse 39. And of course, we know as that plays out in its course, they will eventually crucify him. 1 Corinthians 2:8 says, if they had understood, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Imagine that. The same is true today, my friends. If people truly understood who Jesus is, they would not deny the Lord of glory. If they truly understood who he was, who he is, and who he always will be. Wow. Well, so it was with us, was it not? I was just as blind to the truth that I was a lost sinner. Weren't you at one point blind to that truth? Someone has said that hell is the truth learned too late. We were all blind to the person of Jesus. We were blind to our need. We were blind to our deep, utter desperation for a Savior. We were blind to our need of the cross, which upon He died to pay the price for those sins. How can one hear these things and turn away and deny Almighty God who loved them because they're blind to the truth? I needed someone to pay for my sins. Didn't you? I mean, thank God for this. Do you remember the blind man Jesus healed in John 9? He was physically blind from birth. And he told the questioning Pharisees after Jesus healed him, "One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." Not everybody can have that testimony spiritually. But if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you do. And we should be praising God for it. The Pharisee said to the blind man after he said that, he said, "Whoa, we know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he is from." There's that blindness again. And the man said to them, "Well, here's an amazing thing, that though you do not know where he is from, and yet he opened my eyes." They had the Old Testament. They should have seen the Messiah. Wow. "Yet he opened my eyes." Wow. I thank God he opened my eyes. The Pharisees were blind to who Jesus was. But this man's physical healing, it represented what Jesus does for us spiritually by opening up our blind eyes to see him for who he really is and what he has really done on the cross, and opens up our hearts to believe the truth in faith. Amen? Amen. But thank God when we believe, we are no longer blind. "I once was blind, but now I see. Now I'm free, free indeed, free from blindness. Now free to see and believe and experience and have and possess the truth." Amen. As the great hymn says, at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there, my friends, it was there. By faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. Are you now happy all the day? And if so, we can praise the Lord for this, his amazing grace. Oh, yes, how sweet the sound of that. That's saved, because now I can see this utter wretch, me. Because I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Are you happy? Are you happy all the day? Wow. The Lord's four freedoms in John 8. Freedom from death. Freedom from blindness. Now, freedom from slavery. Whoa. In verse 34, Jesus tells us we were once slaves of sin. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." Boom. Think about slavery. Slavery of man is a terrible crime against humanity, as all mankind, inequality is created in the image of Almighty God. Though this may seem a radical statement I'm about to share with you, I submit to you that slavery to sin is the worst of all slaveries due to what it means and due to the consequences of that slavery. I submit that is the worst form of bondage of all. Jesus began this statement with the words, "Truly, truly, I." You see that? That I, my friends, is the Son of God. That I is God Himself. He was not quoting anyone there. He was speaking in authority of Almighty God, as that is who he is. And he says, from God, truly, truly, meaning take it to the bank. This is real. This is important. Listen up. Take it to heart. This is so true. Truly, truly. You know, the scribes and the Pharisees, they boasted that they've, think about this in verse 33. They say, they've never yet been enslaved to anyone. Imagine saying that to Christ. Yet here they were, in irony, under the thumb of Rome. Oh, the self-deceived. But Jesus shuddered their self-deception when he said, everyone who commits sin is the slave to sin. Shattered that. This is the same deception that mankind needs shattered today. It is man's sin that brought him spiritual blindness. It is sin that brought death. What does Jesus mean? What is he speaking of when he says, we'll be a slave to sin? He is speaking of the power of sin over mankind. Remember in communion through the foot wash, we are freed from the power of sin. It is a cruel taskmaster. The worst form of slavery, and it is the most binding of all addictions and diseases. You cannot heal it. You cannot conquer it. You cannot cure it. You cannot get rid of it. You cannot free yourself from its bondage. Look at this world. Look at the world's wars. Look at the corruption in the world. Look at our country. Look at the riots, the murders of the unborn and the born, and the people who actually defend murdering babies and call themselves Christians. Christians or no Christians, and profess this. Look at the crime and the violence, the hate, the selfishness. Look at all the corruption in the government and in business and in our lives, the scheming, the lying, the lust, the stealing, the opinions of defending the most untrue things. All things contrary from the Word of God. And we have to ask ourselves, and we've been seeing this, and I've been asking this myself, and others ask, what is going on? What is wrong with people? Why do men keep doing what brings such suffering? Why does mankind keep doing what brings such guilt and brings such shame? Shame to themselves and shame to others. They are slaves to sin. It's that simple. It does not take a great philosophy. It doesn't need a great philosophical argument. Jesus himself said they are slaves to sin. You see, sin blinds and sin binds. It deceives and it destroys. It destroys lives. It destroys homes. It destroys marriages. It destroys nations. All you must do is go do a little investigative work of your own. Go investigate a destroyed family. Go investigate a destroyed marriage, a relationship, a destroyed this or destroyed that. Go investigate a destroyed nation. You will find the root cause analysis as always. Sin. Wow. Thus, when Jesus says a man who sins is a slave to sin, he means that he cannot break away from sin. He cannot help to do anything but sin. Don't be shocked when the world is doing what they're doing. Don't be shocked if you're sitting here and you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're doing what you're doing. Don't be shocked if you've never confessed Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you're doing what you're doing. And don't be shocked if you're professing Jesus as your Lord and Savior, but you know you're dead in your sin. You're here faking it to make it. Can't fake it to make it. Transformation must take place. Oh, to think for someone to be real, to realize that they're enslaved, for somebody to see their helpless and their hopeless condition. The power to be free is a person, and it is found in the person, the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I tell you the truth through the Word of God, that if you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you are freed from the power of sin. You are no longer enslaved to it. And if you are enslaved to it, you can have freedom because Jesus says, I'll give it to you. Thank God when we came to Jesus and we accepted him as our Savior and we accepted him as our Lord, he frees us from the slavery of sin. You see, it's by his power and his grace working through the Holy Spirit in our lives, which enables us to yield to him to overcome sin power and enables us to walk in victory in the Spirit walk, not walk in defeat. No longer, my friends, do you have to walk in defeat with sin having control over you. You have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and Jesus says, I free you from that. I love that. This week, I was right here, right at that line, ding, when I got a text from one of my great encouragers here. She's one of my great encouragers. Sometimes I don't hear from her in a week. Sometimes I hear from her twice, sometimes more, depending how God's laying things on her heart. But she sent me an encouraging word right here. Boom. And I love the text. She said, now in your independence, you can rest in dependence on him. Thank you, Paige. Do you realize that in your sins, being enslaved to sin, you have no independence at all. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you now have independence. And now all your dependence is on the Lord, for he paid for those sins. You don't have to. And you can rest in dependence on Christ. You see, Jesus longs to bless you. He longs to bless you. Our Lord can break every chain of sin that enslaves you. And he can take you by the hand in victory over every sin. There is no sin in your life. There is no addiction in your life. There is no sinful habit in your life more powerful than his grace. Praise God. Yes. You see, Jesus is in business and he's never going out of business. And he's in the business of saving and transforming lives, so that men and women can live free from sin, free from death, and begin to live in righteousness. That is the right ways of God. And you know, that is the great path to be on. For Psalm 5:12 tells us that God blesses the righteous man who believes him, who accepts him, who follows him in dependence of his strength and his power, and the Lord, it says, will surround him with favor like a shield. The Lord wants to do this in your life. Praise God. So his freedoms, we've seen three of them. Freedom from death, freedom from blindness, freedom from slavery. Now here's the fourth. You ready? Freedom from Satan. Freedom from Satan. Because we were all once sons of Satan in verse 44. When somebody says, who's your daddy? You only got a choice of two. Who's your daddy? It's either Satan or God the Father. We're not talking about your earthly dad. All mankind have only one of two fathers. Four times Jesus tells them that their father is the devil in verse 38, 41, and 44. Wow. He said, I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. If you live a life of sin while playing, pretending to be a believer in Christ, you are actually performing the works of that father. Jesus says, you also do the things which you heard from your father, not my father, your father. He says in verse 41, you are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. And Jesus says, you are of your father, the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. I call that tough love. No matter what they claimed about Abraham being their father and even God as their father, it was just not so. Their blindness to the truth, their utter refusal to believe in Jesus, whom the Father had sent into this world, reveals that their true father, Jesus said, was the devil himself, who hates truth and hates Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:4 is very clear on what Satan is up to. In whose case the god of this world, that's Satan, has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Oh, man. Oh, man, here's the fight right here. So that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Oh, my word. This is what we want people to see. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, this is what I desperately want you to see. The light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, the very image of God. But it is Satan, if he's your father, that is destroying that and blinding you. Think back to the Declaration of Independence of this nation. Our Declaration of Independence speaks of the King of Britain as a tyrant exercising absolute tyranny over the colonies. This is the words from the Declaration. It states, he has plundered our seas, ravaged our coast, burned our towns, and destroyed the lives of our people, doing the works of death, desolation, and tyranny and cruelty. It says in the Declaration about the king, he is a prince whose character is thus marked by every action which may define a tyrant. And they sent that to the king. Well, the king who sparked a revolution in America for freedom is nothing compared to the king of tyranny, is nothing compared to the prince of evil, who is Satan, who is the greatest tyrant, the devil himself, who Jesus says is a murderer, who is a liar and wants nothing to do but to destroy you. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. But better yet, neither does Jesus. Neither is Jesus Christ, who loves you, for God demonstrated his own love for you in this, that while you were yet a sinner, enslaved to sin, a father of Satan, he died for you. Oh my. There is nothing mankind can do to escape his tyranny, to escape his fatherhood, except Jesus, amen? Thank God when we believed him, thank God when we accepted him as our Lord and our Savior, he did this, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness. And he transferred us, oh yes, to where? To where? Oh no, 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 no. We're gonna have a little stand. Okay, come on. You were once Satan's son or daughter. Jesus freed you from darkness, and he transferred you where? To the kingdom of his beloved son, where we are free. Oh, I'm in the kingdom now, and I will see it in reality one day, where we are free. Where we are free indeed as God's children. For God, who said this, light, shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in your heart to give you the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. It is God who shone the light in your heart. It is God who made you a citizen of his kingdom. He transferred you from that world of Satan and transferred you as his child into his kingdom. And we are free from Satan. Praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Well, look at those four freedoms, everyone. Do not we who have come to know Jesus by God's grace and mercy, do we not have some serious reason to celebrate? Oh, man, we do. I mean, does anybody have anything on them that can go bam, bam, bam? I mean, can we make some noise? Hey, I got a lot of fireworks. You know what would be so fun? Just light off a bunch of fireworks in here right now and then call the insurance company. Mercy. Free. The day you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, that was your Independence Day. It should spark a lot of thankfulness in our hearts. You were freed from the doom of spiritual death. You were freed from the blindness to the truth. You were freed from the slavery of sin. And you were free from being a son or daughter of Satan. Now, I don't know about you, but that's worthy of celebration. Amen. That's a ticker tape parade. So as we close, and we're closing here soon, let me readdress those four freedoms President Roosevelt spoke about. His dream and his idea for everyone, everywhere in the world. You see, the Bible tells us, everyone, that the risen Lord Jesus Christ will return one day and set up his worldwide kingdom in Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. And he will do what man has failed to do. Thomas Paine said, remember, we have it in our power to begin the world over again. No, we don't, Thomas, not in its purest sense. But God does, and he will do just that. You see, when our Lord comes to rule, the world will be so made over in his divine power that all of the unrealized ideals expressed in Roosevelt's four freedoms will be perfectly realized then. In Isaiah 2:4, there will be freedom from fear, for there will be no more war. Nation will never lift up sword against nation again, and never again will they learn war. Isaiah 2:4. There will be freedom from want, for all the land will blossom, it says, in unimaginable abundance, Amos 9:13. And there will be no more famines, no more poverty, none of that. And concerning freedoms of speech and freedoms of worship, today we have seen men are blinded to the true Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just look at the tongue of man. Look at man's speech. It is not used to praise him. It is only used to praise false gods. But in that day, Philippians 2, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus as Lord. And in that day, my friends, all the nations of the world with these purified lips will call on the name of the Lord. And it says to serve him shoulder to shoulder. Shoulder to shoulder, unitedly, Zephaniah 3, 9 through 10, and be his worshipers. Oh, we're going to have freedom of worship. We're going to have the purest freedom of speech. We're going to be free from want and free from fear. So comfort and strengthen your hearts today. No matter what's going on in the world, there is guaranteed certain hope. Wondrous and glorious days are coming, my friends, and all the hopes and dreams of men will be realized in Jesus Christ. So today, as you leave here today, and you think tomorrow over the freedoms God has bestowed upon you, and you think of the spiritual freedoms he has given you, use your speech to praise the Lord. Use your speech to speak the truth and proclaim Jesus. Let us use our freedom to truly worship him. Oh, Jesus gave you freedom to worship him, so worship him in excellence through the Holy Spirit. And thank him, as David said, he is our shepherd. Huh? Yeah. in whom there is no want. There is no want with the Lord. We can live without fear. Why? I can live without fear right now because I know he walks with me and talks with me and leads me on life's way. So this 4th of July, let's do celebrate the independence, the freedom that we have in this country. But let's thank God for this. Let's never take it for granted. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our leaders, as Paul commanded us to do in 1 Timothy. Let's pray for a revival in our land. Don't give up, my friends, praying for a revival. Not only can God use you to bring one, but God can answer our prayers. If you need another one of those, let me know. I'll get it to you. But let us also bow our heads this July 4th and thank God for these four freedoms that we have in Jesus Christ. For these freedoms, as we have said, they have eternal consequence. And I have them for life, eternal life. How about you? If any one of you are here this morning as the praise team comes up, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's nothing more important than you can do right now. Let me encourage you. The Bible says the Lord pleads with you to do it now. Do it today. Do it today. If you're sitting here today and you've been saying you're a Christian your whole life, but you don't have any love for the Lord, you're never around when it comes to serve Him. You're never around when it's time to pray. You're never around when it's time to give. You go home and you're never in the Word. Your prayer life only happens when you're in trouble. And then when you're not, it's only to bless you with what you want. You've not told anyone about Jesus your whole life. In fact, you walk and talk with blind people, dead people, and you don't even care about their soul. I'm telling you, the Bible says you don't know Christ. Jesus wants to save you. Don't let Satan deceive you. If you've never made a profession of faith in Jesus, do it now, because he says, I want to free you from death. He says, I want to free you from this blindness you're in. I want to free you from this slavery you're entrapped in. I want to free you from being a son of Satan. I want to be your Savior. I paid that price. I give you life. I give you sight. I give you fatherhood. And I adopt you as my child. Oh, praise God. I want you to know, no matter where you're at, if you're tuning in or you're here, I'm pleading with you. I'm begging you. Don't be self-deceived. Accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and let today be your Independence Day. And for the rest of us, I pray everyone here knows Christ as their Lord and Savior. Let us rejoice in the Lord, right? Because we have victory in Jesus. Everybody say, we have victory in Jesus. Say, we have victory in Jesus. Yeah, let's stand and